Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I understand you're heading off for a walk today. Is that everybody? And I'm sure it's Castle Archdale and among the trees. No? Kneecarn. Well, that's a lovely place too. Lots of trees. Don't get lost. Come back again. Otherwise we'd have to send out a search party and round you up. All right, let's turn to Luke and the chapter 16 and this wonderful parable that we have begun to study, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I always marvel, you know, that we are given the name of the beggar, but we have no name for the rich man. The beggar was a believer, he was saved, he was trusting in the Messiah, but the rich man wasn't. And therefore, God gives you the name of the one who is his child, but he doesn't give any name for the rich man. We'll read a couple of verses, reminding ourselves of what it says. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Now, we're told the colour of his garment, and every word of God is important. And if we're told the colour, there's a reason for it. Purple, in the times of the Bible, was a very rich colour, and it was the colour of royalty and people of power. And this man, very obviously, would like others to think of him as a very important man. And so he put on this display of importance. You know, you can put on the appearance of being important and being nice and being good and yet not be anything like that at all. And this man would have everybody believe he was a great person, but he wasn't a great person. He wasn't a great person. So unimportant was he. God doesn't even mention his name. Doesn't mention his name. Boys and girls, it's important to be important in God's eyes. Never forget that. Never forget that. Live to be important in God's eyes. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He didn't get any closer to the rich man than his gate. He wasn't invited into the kitchen to get a meal now and then. No, he just lay at the gate. Wasn't allowed in any further. We all have gates of some sort or other, or some means of keeping out that which we don't want in our property. Maybe it's just a cattle grid at the end of our drive or our lane, but it keeps out what we don't want in. And this rich man kept out the unwanted beggar. It says he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Well, he was hungering just for crumb. You've never been as hungry as that. You have never been as hungry as that. In fact, boys and girls, you don't know what it is to be hungry. You don't. You don't know what it is to be hungry. Oh, maybe when it comes to meal time, your tummy is telling you, I'd like something to eat. But that's not really hunger. That's not really hunger. Hunger is something that comes on you when you haven't eaten, maybe for days. Then you feel hungry. This poor man was so hungry, just a crumb would have been something. So he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Your old dogs were the only friends he had. And let me tell you, dogs in the Bible weren't like dogs today. I'm sure there's some of you here, anyway, have dogs at home. And when it comes to the weekly shopping, we doggies remember, doesn't he? Bags of biscuits and tins of meat. And if he doesn't have those bought for him, he shares what you eat because he gets the scraps. But the dogs in the Bible were not treated in that fashion. They were almost wild, and they just roamed about in a wild fashion, just taking whatever they could get. And yet they were the friends of this poor man, and rendered unto him some easing of his grief and sorrow and suffering. They licked the sores on this poor beggar's body. Well, today we're considering a number of little points here that I want you to observe. First and foremost, boys and girls, I want you to notice that the circumstances of men in this world differ greatly. Here's a rich man faring sumptuously. Here's a beggar starving and sickly. And in this world, you still find that great division. You still find that great division. One may have an abundance of this world's goods, while another is bereft of any luxuries. There are agencies that have been set up to help the poor in this world, and they advertise their works. And they show us, usually children in foreign lands who suffer hunger, thirst, disease, and they have nothing. They have nothing. And the appeal is for us in this well-off society to share our wealth with them to help them. Because in this world, just like here in this story, there is the very rich who have no needs that are not supplied, physically speaking. And there are those who have nothing at all, physically speaking, and are in great want. One surrounded by the fullness of what this earth produces, and the other is left with nothing at all. But you'll notice that the one who was rich in this world's goods, who could have anything he wanted, as far as this world is concerned, went to hell. Went to hell. So, perhaps he lived, and I'm sure he did live, with the notion, I have everything. But in truth, he had nothing. He had nothing, for he died, and he went to hell. Whereas the man who had nothing, and I'm sure he was conscious very often, I have nothing. I long just for a crumb from the rich man's table. Yet he had everything. And I'm sure that he knew that. The rich man didn't know how poor he was, but I'm sure the poor man knew how in the end he would be rich indeed. Because the man called Lazarus, when he died and went to be in the Lord's paradise, he knew that was going to happen. You don't live with the prospect of heaven without knowing about it. There's nobody died and went to heaven and were surprised. They knew they were going to heaven. And if you don't have that knowledge, you're not going to heaven. Each one who is saved is given by God, by His Spirit, by the Word of God, and by the evidences in their lives, because they have been changed, that they're going to heaven. That's a knowledge that's given to every Christian. Do you have that knowledge? Do you know that you're on the road that will take you to heaven? Because if you don't know that, you're not on the road to heaven. If somebody out there is walking up the road, and you're out playing, and they stop and they say, excuse me, where does this road go? They're lost. They don't know where they are. And if you're on the road and you don't know where it's going, you're lost. But if I were to ask you today, are you going to heaven? And you said, yes. Yes, I am. Because I got saved. I got saved one morning in Sunday school or in church or at home with mommy or daddy. And I started for heaven that day. And I'm on the road to heaven. Oh, that's a different thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing, boys and girls, to know that you're on the way to heaven. And I'm sure that the poor man, Lazarus, though he was surrounded by many, many miseries, yet had this comfort. When I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. Oh, there's great differences in this world. There's the very rich and there's the very poor. But there's a greater difference amongst men. There are those who are going to heaven, and there are those who are not. And there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. You're either one or the other. You're either one or the other. There's something men need to be taught about, and part of the reason for this story that the Savior is here telling is in order to teach all of us this particular truth. And the truth that I'm referring to is that men need to understand how deceitful riches are. Deceitful. Now you know what deceit is. I get, and I'm sure so does your mommy and daddy, get deceitful telephone calls, maybe even emails, but particularly deceitful telephone calls constantly. The phone rings, and you answer it, hello, hello, my name is Paul, and I'm here to tell you that your internet is about to be cut off because you owe money. You haven't heard these, you're looking puzzled, but that happens all the time. Now, he's not Paul. That's not his name. That's the first lie. Secondly, it's a lie to tell me that my internet is about to be cut off. That's a lie. He's a deceiver. Do you know what he wants? He wants me to be, is that right? What am I to do? Well, give me your bank details and I will take a payment and everything will be all right. Then you give him your bank details and off he goes with everything you have in your bank. Because he's a robber, a deceiver. That's what he is. And I like when he comes on to say, You're Paul, are you? No, I tell you who you are. You're a liar! And put the phone down. I enjoyed those phone calls, brief and all as they are. Well, riches come along, and they do the same. They do the same. Very few people put the phone down in response to the message and the voice of riches. Riches come along and say, now you have me, you have everything your heart desires. Now that you have me, you have no more worries. I'll look after you. I'll look after you. And it's a lie. Riches are deceitful. And we have God's word for the fact that riches are deceitful. Let me read to you a verse from God's precious word that tells us that riches are deceitful. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 17. Charge them, that is, instruct them very plainly, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now just do look at those words. And God here tells us that riches are uncertain. You can't be sure of them. You can't be sure of them. I'm going to read some more words of instruction from the Bible regarding riches. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And boys and girls, if they don't fly away while you're living, they will fly away when you die, if that's all you have. If you're not saved, and you've been trusting in your riches, they'll fly away and leave you on your own when you die. Because you will go in one direction, and the riches will stay here on this earth. Just you bear that in mind. Mark chapter 10, the verses 23 to 25. And Jesus looked round about, this is Mark 10:23, and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth them again, and saith unto them, children. Now the Lord was very good at giving illustrations, and here's one of the greatest of illustrations that ever was given. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You all have done a bit of needlework, I'm sure, even the boys, haven't you? Right, and I know rightly the problem you have at the beginning of it all when you get the needle up and you get the piece of thread and you try to get it through the eye of the needle. And if it's a piece of wool you're trying to get through, that's even harder. Isn't that right? Teacher had to come, but you couldn't get it threaded. Well, if you had that little needle up and you had a big camel here, and you tried to get his snout through it, which you wouldn't manage, but if you did manage, you'd have his neck, and then his shoulders, and then that big hump of his to get through the eye of the needle. And even you would know, I'm wasting my time. Even the teacher couldn't get this camel through the eye of a needle. And the Lord Jesus said, that's how difficult it is for a rich person to get into heaven. You'll get a camel through the eye of a needle quicker. Why is it so? Because a rich person is a person trusting in their riches, rejoicing in their riches, and they who do that won't get to heaven. It's only those who are rejoicing in the Lord and who know themselves to be poor. No matter what they have in the bank, they're poor. No matter how people look upon them and consider them to be wealthy, they know they're poor. Because in God's eyes they have nothing. And that person will get to heaven. But not the person who considers themselves to be rich. Riches are a destructive thing. In the parable that you read in Luke chapter 8 of the sower, we read of some seed falling among thorns, and we're told just what that symbolized. In the verse 14 Of Luke chapter 8 we read, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life." Choked. Every day I see men and women and young people, and I can see about their neck choking the love of money. That's all they're thinking about. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're living for. And it's choking them. And it will bring them down to everlasting death in God's eternity. Men and women and boys and girls need to know just how deceitful money is. Now, a right understanding of this truth will bring you great benefits. If you rightly understand just how useless and empty and vain are the riches of this world, you will benefit from that knowledge. You will benefit from that knowledge. In the world of finance, the bankers and the investors, sometimes some of them hear a wee bit of news that a certain company is going to be bought over by a big company. And when that happens, then the value of that smaller company is going to increase. So what do? They go to their agent and they say, "Buy me £10,000 worth of shares in that small company." And they buy the shares. And the big company comes along and buys the small company. And suddenly the £5 shares are worth £25. £25. So that the man who invested 10,000 now has not just £10,000 worth of shares, but he has five times that. He has £50,000 worth of shares because he got that bit of information and he acted upon it. Well, God's giving you information here. He's telling you the riches of this world will bring you nothing in the end. So don't invest in them. Don't depend upon them. And he puts into your hand knowledge and information that if you act upon it, you will find yourself greatly enriched in eternity. One final thing I'll say, what are true riches? And how can we get our hands on true riches? Riches that are not going to just last in this life, but riches that will last and last and last and last and last throughout eternity. How can we get our hands on riches of that nature? I'm here to tell you how you can. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians. Oh, look it up. Bigger ones in particular. Look it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the verse 9. And I want you never to forget, ever to remember what these words say. For ye know. The Corinthians, they knew this truth. But Paul's reminding them of it. Because even though we know truth, we need to be reminded of it. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This book, this blessed book given us of God, contains a message whereby you can be rich. You're poor at the minute. If you're not saved, you're poor. Oh, you say, my daddy has a great big car. I don't care how many cars your daddy has. If you're not saved, you're poor. Poor indeed. You can be rich because the Lord Jesus came from heaven, took upon himself the form of a man, lived for some 33 years on this earth, and went to the cross as the Lamb of God and died for sinners. And at the cross, he took all the poverty of our sin, that which made us poor, that which had robbed us of God's blessing, robbed us of heaven, all our debts. For every time you break the law of God, you owe God for that sin. What debts we have. But the Lord Jesus at the cross took my sin and my sorrows, and he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. He took my poverty, and when I trust him, I get his riches. The riches that were the Lord Jesus before he left heaven and came here, when he stood before his Father, beloved of his Father, perfect, perfect in righteousness and enjoying glory that we cannot describe. Those were the riches of Christ. and they become mine the moment I trust in him. You see, what happened at Calvary was that the Lord Jesus came and he said, look, I'll take all your poverty, I'll take all your shame, I'll take all your guilt, and I'll pay the price for that. And here, put on my garments, put on glory, stand with God as I stood with him. That's what Calvary means. And if you're saved today, you're rich. Let's read that verse again and we'll close. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how kind he was, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty, that's how you get to heaven, through the suffering of the Lord Jesus, might be rich. If we have embraced Christ, boys and girls, if he's our Savior today, we are rich indeed. In fact, so rich, you will never be able to spend your rich. 1 billion years from now, you'll still be rich. You will still have as much riches 1 billion years from now as you have now. 10 billion years from now, you'll be rich. And your riches won't have decreased in the slightest. 1 billion, 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 billion years from now, you'll still be rich. Oh, that's what it is to be rich through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Tell me, are you saved today? You're off on a walk, but are you walking on the road to glory today? Are you? There's a wee hymn. I'm a pilgrim bound for glory. I'm a pilgrim going home. Is that the way it is with you? Oh, boys and girls, make the Lord your Savior. I know the world laugh at you. You have embraced riches indeed. Riches indeed. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I ask thee in your mercy to apply the word to the boys and girls. May they understand. Oh, may they understand. You must give understanding, Lord, because we cannot understand if we do not have the light of heaven and the blessing and grace of the Spirit of God granted to us. Take care of the school as it goes on its outing. May there be much that surrounds them as they walk abroad that will remind them of the beauties of God's creation, and therefore the wisdom and the kindness of the God who made the earth. Speak today and grant us all your mercy and grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen.